times that we can get ushered in, and there's times that he's waiting on you. Well, you just come in. If you rely on a minstrel or you rely on a song, you're going to miss what God wanted for you to do. Sometimes you got to press through that circumstance. I don't feel like worshiping. I don't feel like praising. Well, then the rocks will praise him. He's going to get his praise somehow. He's going to get it whether you want to give it or not. I don't know about you, but I know the rocks can't do much of a blessing that he's going to release to them, but I'll take that blessing. I'll take that blessing because he called us to be worshipers, to praise him, whether quietly or loudly. You want to look at your neighbor and say, which one are you? Are you quiet or are you loud? Come on, come on. Look to the other neighbor and say, are you quiet or are you loud? That was a nice sound. I felt just flow. Woo! Have you ever been approaching a railroad track? And then all of a sudden you start hearing at a distance a sound that you know something's coming. Come on, come on. Don't let me be the only one hearing it. There's a sound at a distance, but you haven't seen it, but you're just approaching the railroad tracks. But then what happens is here comes this arm. And it stops you from getting to the other side. Oh, look. Y'all say, but is it going to stop us from getting hurt by the train? Not if the train was sent for you. If it was sent for you, then all you got to do, because I remember back in the day, I used to jump on the trains. Just jump on that train. Jump on that train and just ride it down to the next block. But you see, if God sent something your way, the enemy's trying to block you from getting on it. With red flashing lights. Ding, 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 ding. And they don't shut up, does it? Dang, 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 dang. Shut up! That's my train. And I'm getting on it. I'm getting on it. If you want to get stuck behind the arms of adversity, then you're going to be stuck. But unless you determine in your spirit that that's my train that I'm about to jump on, Lord, you got to jump on that train. Jump on that train because it's for you. I've done looked at some trains, been behind that arm like this, and see that thing. Lord, when is this thing going to end? When is it going to end? He says, would you like for it to end if it was your blessing? Oh, keep it coming. Just keep it coming. What if everything on each one of those trains, those train cars, whatever, anyhow, what if it was all your blessings? Watch this. They don't have a caboose. They have the second engine in the back. You ain't pulling something. Something's pulling and something's pushing in your direction. But every now and then your blessings get tagged. It gets tagged with somebody that says, it's mine. But you notice that all the tagging is on the outside. Because what's rightfully yours is on the inside that's being guarded and protected just for you. You can tag it, call it anything you want, but it's yours. It's coming your way. Your prayers pull. Your worship calls it. And your praise pushes it in your direction. But if we don't do the three things that God called us to do is what? Pray, worship, and praise. Somewhere along the line, something's going to get stuck on the tracks. I used to like trains, right, Mama? Not the toy trains. They're too boring. I had to exert my energy to do it. See, the toys that I like had to move by itself. So when God said, I got something for you, but it's on the move to you. But I ain't going to stop where you're at. I'm not going to stop where you're at. You have got to know that what I have for you will get a hold of you and take you further than where you're at. Come on, Josh. Come on, Josh. Come on, Colleen. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Get behind. Come on. Come on. Come on. Anybody else want to jump on that train? Anybody else want to jump on that train? Come on. Jump on that train. Come on. Because your blessing. Come on. That's it. Come on. Your blessing. Come on. We got that train going. Oh, wait a minute now. We're getting momentum. Oh. Woo. Wait a minute. I need someone in the back to be pushing. I can't be doing all the work. Are they pushing? I don't. Oh, there we go. Hey, there we go. Oh, hey. Are we pushing? Oh, here we go. Oh, shit. You see? Your blessing. You got to push. You got to push back there. You got to push. Push. I need to feel it. Then the one that is pushing is making the one that is pulling not have to work as hard. Do you see what I mean? It doesn't take one. Look at that. They don't want to stop. Keep it going. See? Keep pushing. Watch this. Because I used to see when the train would stop, everything else would stop too. So what is the trick of the enemy? To stop the one that's pulling. Are you hearing this? Your blessing is not predicated on the one. That's an old system. That's a Moses mentality. Only one goes to hear from God. Only one can come back and bring the blessing back. But in the new system, Christ's system, he says they may take one out, but we got many others. Keep it going. Come on now. Come on. See, everybody's pushing on one another. Push. You see? All right, now, watch this. As they're going around, y'all looking at, what are you going to get the scripture on this or not? You going to get any scripture? You ever read the Bible? Watch this. Then all of a sudden, one gets taken out in the middle. But look, it keeps, keep going. Do you see what I mean? The old system, would, if you stop the head, then everything else would die. In the new system, God just blesses everybody to be the leader, to keep pulling, keep pushing, to bring the blessing to his people. So if he'd have taken somebody else out, watch this.
Not going to take me out.
But it's all right. See, as the train's still going, look at what happens. You think you've been taken out of the equation, but God says, I've only started another one. Huh? Come on. You think you're going to quit along the way just because the enemy tried to stop you? No. What happens is, watch this. Keep going, Josh. Go, Josh, run. Come on, Josh. What has happened? He caught up. Now watch this. You see that everyone thinks that if you get cut off, that you're going to miss your blessing. In the old system, you had to wait for the head to come down. The new system is you are all the head. You are all filled with the same power, the same glory that Christ has released unto the church. You have now become the temple, which is the holy place of God, where you can take the blessing of God and release it out there. And if the enemy wants to break the chain, guess what? It'll catch up anyhow. Because in the back end, you have the Holy Spirit pushing you. Oh, the Holy Spirit don't push? Oh, does he push? Jesus came out of the River Jordan. and the Holy Spirit like a dove. But it says that the Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness. What does that mean? The Holy Spirit's going to get you to where you need to be.
Come on now.
Even if you're going to be tempted of the devil. And if you're getting tempted of the devil, that doesn't mean that you're going to miss your blessing.
Come on now.
That just means you're just getting anointed to bless others.
Come on now.
Just because you're in the wilderness for a season don't mean that that's where you're going to reside. That just means where he is abiding with you in that wilderness experience, you're going to come out with that anointing to start the very thing God called you to start.
They don't hear you.
I've been hearing some things in the spirit. I said, Lord, it was such a beautiful service on Sunday. He says, guard it.
Come on now.
I didn't create it, so why do I got to guard it? I didn't do anything but just walk in it. He says, many are going to want to jump in it with you. But not everybody belongs where you belong. Not everybody's going to go where you're going. So when they want to come in and get in some of your oil, you better hold that oil back and say, this ain't for you. This ain't for you. I've been chasing my blessing, and my blessing been chasing me. And you think you're going to jump on this train and start taking some sort of recognition and glory? I don't think so. The Lord said, guard it. Guard it. And when you protect the very precious thing that God has blessed you with, you may have to lay down your own life for it. You may have to go through that process all over again. How many of you want to go through the process again? No? You want to go through that process again? Do you want to go through that process of getting hurt, whooped, beat on? You don't want to? So that when you get a little bit of taste of freedom, so what should you do? Guard it. Guard it.
Come on now.
I said, I brought you to that door, and you think everybody else is going to walk through that door with you? You better guard it. What are you talking about, Pastor? You think you got to be selfish about it? You got to protect what God has given you. If he's giving you a ministry, how many of you know that God has given you a ministry? Come on. Has he given you a ministry? Huh? Has he called you and he's chosen you? And if you've been going through some stuff, then you better guard it when he brings you some little bit of light in your direction. And then all of a sudden you see the spout getting ready to open up on your behalf. Your behalf. Somebody else wants to jump right in the mix of that. Say, oh, that's mine.
Come on now.
Oh, we about to throw down. I didn't go through all of this. I didn't labor this long.
Come on.
Been sitting in a cave for a minute.
Come on now. Hallelujah.
To have somebody on the outside thinking it's for them.
Come on now.
See, now what the Bible says is when David got into the cave, he went in by himself.
Come on now.
And he didn't ask for no help. But then what God do? God sent him those like mind, like spirit, going through the same kind of stuff you've been going through. Hallelujah. And if you're looking around, I look around at some broke folk, and I ain't talking money. I'm talking about broke in the spirit, broke by the flesh, gone through the grave, but God's getting ready to resurrect you back up.
Come on now.
He's going to call you out of your cave. You see, we got to start guarding the anointing by guarding the oil. When you guard that thing, my God, the enemy ain't want to come in and tag, put labels on you. Kind of put a label on you, put a label on you and tag you and say, this is my property. I says, you can label all the flesh you want to flesh. It's once you know that you've died to the flesh don't matter no more.
That was a lie.
You want to tag my flesh and tell me I'm a sinner? I am the righteousness of God because of his righteousness. I have been redeemed from my sin, my past, my present, and my future. I stand firm on the things that I believe in, and no one can take that away. And if you want to bring a religious mindset to make me go back into the pit of hell that I was in, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Because I am called by the man upstairs. I've called you for a purpose. I've called you for a season to demonstrate his glory. His glory. Guard it. Because that train has been sounding that alarm from a long way off. A long way off. Why? Because it's hauling the goods for his people. Don't get stuck behind the arms of adversity. Jump on the train. Jump on that train. Now, for all you think you're going to go jump on a real train, shame on you. I'm talking about spiritual chain. Pastor said, we had some casualties out at New House of Manor. They were over there jumping on train. A spiritual train, just disclaimer here. God has you on the right track. The right track. Getting you from point A to point B. You may not think that it's going in the direction that you think. Because every time I read in scripture, the A to B is not a straight line. The A to B is a roundabout way. Up hills, down the hills, in the valleys, or all the way around. You may be passing the same thing over again, but God is getting you to your destination. Don't quit along the way because you're on the right track. Amen.
Amen.
But what do we got to do?
Guard it.
Oh, I say it again. What do we got to do?
Guard it.
I want to hear it again. What do we got to do?
Guard
your anointing. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Sit down. Sit down. Choo-choo trains in here. Choo-choo trains. Choo-choo. Come on now.
Woo.
That's it.
Woo.
Ric Flair in the house. Ric Flair in the house. Woo. Y'all remember Ric Flair? Woo! My. Guard it. How do we guard our anointing? How do we guard our oil? By keeping your eyes in the Word. Get in the Word. Get in the Word. Guarantee. Some of y'all been tempted to click, click. Oh, click, click. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you know when the Holy Spirit begins to move? That the spiritual darkness begins to move as well. But because love is in the atmosphere, what do you think the first spirit is going to come? Sensuality. Because why? The enemy's not going to throw something that's going to be to the point that you'll be able to recognize. It's going to come in. That's it, sir. There's love in the atmosphere. And that love is there for his people to be filled. So then all of a sudden the enemy says, oh, they're ready to receive. But if we're not in the Word, we're not going to discern what is trying to creep in. We have got to be careful. Going to bring everything that looks not mighty, mighty, mighty fine. Oh, you think I'm playing? Think I'm playing? Okay. Mm-hmm. Since I talked about David in the cave, let's not forget about the same David that stood up on the rooftop. Why, oh, sexy thing. Was bathing outside. Oh, David? Oh, King David? What? In the middle of a battle where the king should have been leading, he was gleaning. You want victory in your battles? Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. Get in the Word. So that when another spirit tries to come in, it's going to look like light. It's going to look and smell like God. But the reality is to take you off course. Here's the thing about the train. That massive, massive train can switch directions by a push of a button and take them off course. The train wouldn't even know. It's still going with its momentum, but leading in a different direction. Be careful. Be careful. Don't let the enemy push your buttons. Oh, if he's going to push your buttons, it's because God is allowing him to. And if he's allowing him to push your buttons, discern. God, how come this is the one that always gets me? Because he wants to stop you. How many of you want to be stopped in your tracks? No? How many of you want to get to your destiny? You really want to get to your destiny? Because if you don't want to get there, just forfeit it. Forfeit it. Just stop where you're at. Watch this. This is how simple it is. You don't want your destiny? Forfeit it. Give it up. I don't want this, God. I don't want it, God. You know how many folks have done that? Sitting in church. People that stand behind the pulpits have forfeited their destiny because they've gotten comfortable where they're at. Because when it's good, as long as this is being filled, some of y'all can't see, my pocket. If my pocket's being filled, oh, I'm good. I don't need nothing. But what God has, you haven't even seen, heard, or even entered into your mind. You thought this little change? What he has for you. It may hurt a little bit. It may get you to the point you want to quit. You might want to throw in the towel from time to time. But if you continue on and you keep on pressing through, what you have now is only just a blur of what was in the past. Because you're not where you used to be. And what you once used to hold on to, don't be like Ananias and Sapphira that just started getting greedy. Just because I got a little bit of increase. I'm comfortable now. Why did the increase come? Because there was an anointing that was flowing for the people of God that have purpose. Oh, some of y'all don't want to hear this. And when all of a sudden people begin to increase in God, greediness kind of shows up on the scene. Well, this is all we got. It's all we got when we sold our property. Wallet, like, all fat. But the men of God said, oh, why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? Wait a minute now. Wait a minute now. Don't get it twisted. Not why have you lied to me? Who are you? But why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? Well, not me. Out. Done. Dead. But watch this. Watch this. Here's what I'm telling you. Discernment is so necessary. It's in the house. Greed was in that house. Here comes. Oh, the second one. That's all we had. That's all we had. Not even knowing. Spouse has been taken. Body wasn't even cold yet. Just taken out right now. Coming in. That's all we got. Carried out too. Now, here's the thing we got to understand is that greed, because of the flow of God, will try to creep in and cause sin to enter into the camp. But if you ain't guarding it now, my God, what was the increase for? The increase was to further the church, the body. Oh, come on. Come on. It was to further the cause for the kingdom of God. Do you understand? And by doing so... Gospel was to reach further than there. I'm telling you, when I feel the Holy Ghost begin to move, I start asking, what are you doing so I can be in position? Where are you going so that I can follow? What must I see that I cannot see? You understand those kind of prayers? Because then what will happen is he's going to show you what you have not yet been praying for. And then when he shows you, you're going to think, oh, that's me. That's what's trying to come in. And then we get, oh, I'm not greedy. See, you're going back to selfishness. It's the spirit that tries to enter in to stop the move of God. Oh, they don't want to hear it, Ramey. Ramey, they don't want to hear it. See, when the spirit tries to come in, comes in real sly. Sit right next to you. Paint itself nice and pretty, too. Ooh-wee. Spray the cologne, perfume, all that kind of good stuff. Wear the red bottoms. What do they call the shoes? The red bottoms. What are those? What? Huh? Louis Vuitton. Oh, red flip-flops. They come in with the flip-flops. Louis Vuitton red bottoms. You know? And then they got the Birkin bags. And they got it all looking nice and pretty. Looking like church. Looking like church. But empty on the inside. Been sitting under the anointing, under the oil for a long time, but still nothing penetrating. God is about through. Everybody's saying, well, something's about to happen, something's about to happen. It's been happening. It's been happening. He's been shaking the church. That those that are left standing, they've gone through the sifting, but what remains is the weightiness of the seed inside of you. All the other flesh, everything else, is blown with the wind. We go through a process, y'all. We go through a process. Why? So that we can guard it. We can protect it. Because if we don't, snatched up. Snatched. I don't want to lose it. Do you want to lose it? Guard it. Pray. Get in the word. Pray. Worship. Praise. And then obey. Amen. I know I just got off on a little tangent here, but felt the Holy Ghost, so we went. Had my brother was supposed to preach last Wednesday. That didn't happen. We're going to make that up. I got you on schedule. I got my daughter in the spirit here that's going to minister a word concerning prayer. Concerning prayer. And I want you, please, to hear the heart of the Spirit of God and what He has for us right now. There's some supernatural things happening in this sanctuary with nobody in here that we're seeing the effects of it when we come in. I want you to hear this. There is supernatural activity taking place in the sanctuary when we're not here. But when we come in, we can visually see it. Telling the truth, right, Cherie? I got pictures proving it. I'm going to guard it. And I encourage you to guard it as well. Because this isn't just about this house. It rests in that house, 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 and that house. Why? Because you are the temple of the Most High God. Amen. All right, if you would, I want you to put your hands together for my beloved daughter in the spirit, Ramey Johns. Come on up here, and I want you to release this teaching on prayer.
I wasn't until I just got up here. So like Pastor Marty said, I'm going to be talking to you about intercession and prayer. These are just some things that God put in my spirit to share, so that's what I'm going to do. Intercession prayer is praying so that things can be shifted or changed in the spiritual and the physical. You're standing in proxy for individuals, nations, families, jobs, our government leaders. You're asking Christ to change the now or the future into something more or something greater. So now, Chronicles 7 and 14 says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So, it's a lot of things going on today in the United States, all over the world. So just keep that in mind when you're praying, but the Spirit will tell you what to pray. So people might think that I'm not, you might think to yourself, I'm not an intercessor, or like you don't need to know anything about intercession or prayer, but we're all intercessors. Like at some point in our walk with God, we're going to have to stand in proxy for someone. We're going to be praying for people to be healed. We're going to be praying for our nation to be healed. So we need to know how to pray and what comes along with being intercession prayer. Just some things that I experienced when God was first revealing to me that I was going to be like doing intercession prayer, because I didn't know. But the Lord began to wake me up like early mornings or late at night just to spend time with him. It was usually a time that wasn't convenient for me. Like for me, it was like 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'm like, are you serious? But when I stopped negotiating with God, like when I he'd be like, get up and pray, and I, oh, can I just lay in bed and pray? Can I just, you know what I mean? I was trying to negotiate with him, and I just had to say, you know, get up and do what God is telling you to do, because that's the only way change is going to come. So when I started doing that, he started revealing himself to me more and more, and just revealing different things to me. So the relationship that I thought that I had lost with him, he was restoring that. I also felt the need to clean up. I cleaned my whole house out, gave away a lot of things. I was just like, okay, God, why are you having me clean up? And it was just him preparing me. He was getting things in order. So it was, starting with the relationship with him, he was restoring that back, and then cleaning out my house. You know, he wants your house to be in order. You, if you're going to be ministering somebody, you have to be in order in order to minister to them. Some things that God wanted me to share about fasting and prayer, or about praying and intercession, fasting, is a big part of intercession. He'll put in your spirit to fast a lot more than you're used to doing, or a lot more than I was used to doing, or a lot more than I even wanted to, to be honest. But fasting is your sacrifice to God. You're sacrificing the things that you enjoy, and you're showing God that you don't care about your wants, that you only want what his desires are. So another thing about fasting, it breaks your flesh. It rids you of yourself so that you can be molded and used for God's purpose. you're sacrificing so that situation that you're praying for can turn around. And fasting and praying implores God to bring change. You're denying yourself of whatever it is the Holy Spirit is telling you to give up for whatever amount of time, whether it's, you know, up until 5 or 3 days or 7 days or a month, or it could be long periods of time. But you're giving that thing up for a time, and then during the time that you're fasting, your flesh is going to crave the very thing that the Holy Spirit is telling you to give up. But that's when you learn to lean and depend on God. When you're craving or being tempted, you just pray it through. And fasting and praying takes away what the flesh craves, therefore breaking the hold off of whatever it is the Spirit has you praying about. Okay. Fasting helps make your flesh submit to the Holy Spirit so that you can do what Jesus wills you to do instead of doing things with selfish motives. So as you continue to grow in your gift, whether it's intercession and prayer or just your relationship with God, fasting, it'll come up time and time again, because it helps you with spiritual growth. Okay, you may come under some attacks when you begin to be more and more obedient and sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because the devil wants you to quit. He wants you to give up. He doesn't want you to make it to where you're bringing in souls to God's kingdom. He doesn't want you to be used by the Holy Spirit. So he's going to throw whatever he can at you to make you break down and quit. So your finances might get iffy. Your children might start misbehaving. Little things will go wrong to frustrate you. So just pray it through and press on. Let God know that he has your heart no matter what. And at the end of the storm, remember there's always a rainbow. So hold on, because it isn't only about you. When you intercede, you are by way of the Holy Spirit praying for people, nations, churches, families to receive their breakthrough, or for a change to occur. And God wouldn't have given you the gift of intercession if he didn't think that you can do it. You might feel like an outsider. You might feel alone, like you don't matter. But don't believe it. You're being put aside so that Jesus can begin to minister to you. So that you'll learn to depend on him. With the Holy Spirit leading you rather than your own feelings. The Holy Spirit will be with you even when you can't feel him. You have to keep going and leaning on what God has taught you. You might think that he isn't there, but he's always there. There doesn't have to be a feeling or other things that you felt when you first experienced Christ. You might not have those same feelings. But you were a babe in Christ then. We have to grow and mature in Christ to the point that even when we feel at our very lowest, we don't think that we feel God. We don't think that he's there. We have to know without a doubt that he is there. And he's carrying us through. So the Spirit just wanted me to share a little bit of my testimony. And I was telling my sister, I was like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. You know, I don't know what people are going to think, but I have to be obedient to the Spirit. So I have felt like an outsider for a long time. That's just how I felt. When I was a kid, I moved from I was living with my grandma. I moved to my mom's. And some things happened, like when I was younger. When I was younger, I was molested just in elementary school. I used to, like, my sisters and my brother, they weren't there with me yet. So I used to be at home all day, all night, by myself, with different things happening at the house. I didn't understand it then. I was just a kid. I didn't understand, you know, how things were happening that were unexplainable. I got sick, and I had to take some. I was taking some medication. I was allergic to the medication. We didn't know that I was allergic. I could have died because I knew that the medication made me sick, but I was told to keep taking it, so I kept taking it. But I was in and out of consciousness for maybe that whole week that I took that medication. So I know that God is real and that He is watching over us. When those attacks come from Satan, just rebuke him and keep going. Don't quit. Don't give up. When I was in the military, I was raped by a close friend of mine. When we go through all these things, we question God, like, why am I going through this? Why do I have to go through this? But now I know, like, the things that you go through are going to help somebody else through. You're going to be that testimony that they needed to hear. Because when all that stuff happened to me, I felt like I was just dirty, unloved. I didn't think that I deserved the love of God. I just felt dirty. I wanted to quit. I wanted to give up. I wanted to kill myself. And I tried, but God didn't allow it to happen. So when you go through things, that's just going to help you get to where God is taking you to. So I just encourage you, don't give up. Just trust God and just keep going. Okay, some key things of importance are, in Hebrews 11, 1 and 2, it says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the men of old gained approval. So faith is an action word. It requires you to do something. In Hebrews 11, it says, by faith we understand, by faith we believe, by faith Abel offered a better sacrifice. By faith Enoch was taken up to heaven. By faith Noah, being warned by God, built an ark. By faith Abraham, when called, obeyed by going to the wilderness. He didn't know where he was going, but he had faith in God. And by faith, he lived in the land of promise. By faith, Sarah believed and conceived. So when you say you have faith, ask yourself, what am I doing for the Lord? Because faith is an action word. What is he convicting me to do in a move of faith? So if you know your ministry and you're saying you have faith in God, then you should be doing something towards that ministry that God gave you.
That's right. That's true.
Because faith is an action word. Don't quench the spirit. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 19, it says, quench not the spirit. Wherever it is, it burns. It flames in holy love, in joy, prayer, thanksgiving. Oh, quench it not. Damp it not in yourselves or others, either by neglecting to do good or by doing evil. When we stop the spirit from using us, we're quenching or grieving the Holy Spirit. If Christ is trying to use you in intercession, prophecy, in any other way, allow him to. When we fight or quench or stop the Spirit of God, when he tries to use us, he'll find a more willing vessel. And you'll miss out on being used. In that moment, God is trying to reach whatever the other individual. He's trying to increase your faith in him. And your faith is increased by doing what he says to do. And God is a God of order. He'll never tell you to do anything that's out of order. Stop talking so much. If you gossip or are constantly telling someone what this or that person said or did, how will you expect people to trust you? If someone tells you something or asks for prayer for something in confidence, don't say anything to anyone unless God is telling you to reveal it. And usually it'll be to a leader, other leaders of the church, so that they could pray it through. So don't go judging the person or criticizing them. Proverbs 20 and 19 says, a gossip betrays the confidence, so avoid a man that walks who talks too much. Next, we have to rely on what our Father in heaven wants us to pray and not what we want him to do. This teaches you to completely depend on him and be sensitive to his spirit. And when there are no words to be said, just cry or wail or moan, groan. Allow yourself to be used by the Holy Spirit in the way he wants to use you. Romans 8, 26 and 27 says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Be quick to obey. Obedience is key. Luke 28 says, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Psalm 119 and 60 says, I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands. So if God is telling you to pray for a person, to go over and just give them a hug, you need to do that because that's what they need at that moment. God's not going to tell you to go and do something that's not needed. What if God needed you to intercede for someone at that moment or for your family, spouse, or child, but you were too busy asking God why so early in the morning or trying to negotiate with him on if he will allow you to just lay there and pray, like I said earlier. So just be obedient. Live the example, no contradictions. Colossians 4, 5 through 6 says, live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. So if you're always at work saying that you're a Christian, but you're constantly arguing or talking about people or judging people, that's a contradiction to what you're saying. And when you do that, it's harder for that other person. Like, if they saw you, if you were saying you're a Christian, you always had a smile on your face, you were always speaking positive, you were, you know, always trying to help, then they would be more apt, like, oh, you want to come to my church? They would be more willing because you're not contradicting what you're saying. Be open to God pruning you. If we ourselves aren't willing to allow the change that God is trying to make us or make in our situation, how can we have faith for him to change someone else's? Again, faith is an action word. Pray it through, then let it go so God can work in the situation. If we hang on to whatever it is after prayer, that is showing the Lord that we don't completely trust him to work in that situation. Once you pray something through and God releases you, don't pick it up. Don't pick it back up. Meaning, don't stress over it, don't lose sleep over it, unless the Holy Spirit is waking you up to pray. Don't doubt. After you are released from praying, walk in victory as if it's already come. Don't get comfortable. If you want to grow, don't try to be comfortable. We are Christ's body. We are to go into the places that no one else wants to go. We pray for those who society has given up on and discarded. We have to put our judgmental attitudes and flesh aside and pray for the situations where the world feels that there's no hope. When you pray over for people, you are touching and agreeing with them for results. And most times you are stilling in them your faith. You're pouring out your faith in God and standing in proxy for them. So in Acts 13:2-3, it says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. So they touched and agreed and then sent them off to do the work. We all have our calling in the Lord, each different and each one important. We all work together to form one body in Christ, and that's the most important thing. We need the worshipers, the prophets, the intercessors, the teachers. We all need to be on one accord so that the work of God can be done successfully. So in Romans 12 and 3-5, it says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we are many, we form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. So we're all one body, and we should all work together. When praying, willingness and brokenness, you have to be willing to allow God to move through you, to use you as a vessel. Brokenness, we have to die to our self-driven desires and line up with God's desires. A verse there is Ezekiel 21 and 6. Psalms 51 and 17 says the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. And Psalm 34, 18 says the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. We have to have true repentance. So true repentance isn't when you go and you say, well, God, forgive me for doing this, and you know that you're going to be out doing it again. That's not true repentance. True repentance is when you're deeply sorrowful for what you've done and you strive not to do that very thing again. So, for example, an alcoholic or someone addicted to pain pills struggling daily not to fall back is relying or not to fall back into relying on that high that's really a low to numb themselves from the reality of life. When they ask for forgiveness, when they ask for forgiveness and they're deeply sorrowful, God is going to be, like, instead of the pills, instead of the alcohol, instead of the pornography, instead of anything that you're, you know, trying to give up, instead of the high off of that, you're going to get the high from God. So again, remember, God often wakes you up to tuck you into his side and to love on you, to teach you and reveal to you the unknown things and events you'll be interceding for. You might also begin to have more and more dreams. So just be sure to write things down that he tells you to write down. Hold on to them until you're released from praying from them. And the Holy Spirit will let you know when you're released. And again, we have to die to self so that we are pliable for forming into what Christ wants us to be. And so we rely on him for all things. And the last thing is pride. Pride comes before destruction. So we should always remember, it's not us doing anything. It's the Spirit of God working through us. We're the vessel. We carry the Spirit in us so that the work and change can be done through the Spirit in us, not by us, because we can't do anything without the Spirit. Matthew 23 and 12 says, whoever exalts himself shall be humbled. And then Romans 12 and 11 through 14 says, speak words of life. You're praying life or death into situations when you pray. Don't contradict your prayer life with words of death in your normal talk. So just be conscious of what you're saying. Like I said, speak words of life, not death. Speak words of encouragement. And faith, again, without it, we're just going through the motions. We have to have faith that God hears and responds to our prayers, because faith moves God. And Galatians 6 and 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ.
Come on. She talked to us about prayer, intercession. not grieving the Holy Spirit. Did she not? She gave us plenty of scripture for us to draw back on and to always reference to. I want to share something with you that the Lord had put on my heart that I was preparing for tonight. Just, I felt that what was going to take place in the Spirit for a season, we had to be careful not to quench His presence. Not to quench His presence. And one of the things is that we've had many moves of God in the past. Many moves of God. What always started the move of God was prayer, fasting, intercession with travail. Now, many would call that's what started the revivals of old. But I'm here to tell you that something's going to change in the way He's going to do this movement. But you can't negate prayer. You've got to be in the Word and be in prayer. All the moves of God that took place before, there was five things that always caused it to stop. I said, Lord, I don't want to miss it. So He gave me a few things to look at. And one of it was the moves of the past ended because men exploited it. They used it for personal gain. Secondly, it was fabricated. To say that there's a move of God just so we can have a tickling of our ears, tickling of our spirit, but it wasn't truly a move of God. In other words, there was a pouring, an outpouring of the Spirit in one area, but somebody else said it was moving in their area and trying to make it happen so people could flock to their church. So it was fabricated, moves of God. Thirdly, it was corrupted. How did those moves of God get corrupted? By not fearing God, not being in the Word, and by not being in prayer. I said, Lord, I don't want to miss this. We have to make sure that we call truth, truth, and a lie, a lie. We got to keep the gospel pure. We've got to keep it pure. And if you don't like being told about some of the stuff that you're going through a message, I'm here to tell you, your toes are going to get stepped on. You're going to be going to see one of those foot doctors all the time because you're going to get stepped on quite a bit. So it's probably best that you deal with that issue so He don't step on your toes no more. Amen. But if we don't deal with it, it's going to come right back around. Fourthly, denominationalism. It only happens in a charismatic church. Or it only happens in a Methodist church. It only happens in certain sectors of religion. When you think that you can contain the move of God based upon denomination, you put an end to what He started. We don't want to kill it. We must pay close attention, close attention to what He's doing and that we don't get in the way. The fifth reason why it stops. We become the professionals in revival. We become the professionals in revival. What does that mean? That we have become so good at preaching and doing what we do that no longer is it the Spirit, it's all flesh. That we're not relying on the Holy Spirit, we're relying on our intellect. We're relying on what we know as opposed to what God already knows. So we've got to make sure that we're not falling into these traps. Because there is things that are happening in the atmosphere that prayer and intercession will reveal. And then once it's revealed, you're able to end the very attack. I didn't say cause it to slow down. I meant end it so that God can begin to move even more. the momentum keeps going. Do you understand? The whole train scenario. You know how hard it is to stop a moving train? It's because the momentum, watch this, oh Lord Jesus, it's metal on metal. It causes friction for it to move. And in order for it to stop, it's got a long distance before it comes to a rest. So it's hard to stop the momentum of a train. So when God begins to move, whether in a city or church, in an atmosphere, don't stop the momentum by thinking that you can harness and structure the move of God. Let's just move out of the way. Move out of the way. Be obedient to what he's telling us to do. Amen? Now, if he's challenging you to get out of your comfort zone, because I've been hearing that a lot lately, then it's best that we get out of our comfort zones. Amen? Hallelujah. Do you like being comfortable? Or do you like being challenged? Because if you're comfortable, you can get complacent. If you're so comfortable with using one gift as opposed to all the gifts, you're professionalizing that gift for your personal increase. But if you trust God, he may take you into an area that you haven't been utilizing so that he can train you up in the other gifts. Do you understand that? We need to understand that God wants to do something fresh in you. And for those of you who feel, well, I've got some gifts inside of me. Are they activated or are they dormant? And the way you're going to know it is, are you putting your faith into action by using it? And that doesn't mean standing up here and using it. That doesn't mean being somewhere that you can be heard. That means utilizing what God has given you to do and to do it the way God has told you to do it. That's what we need to do. Amen. Now, one of the things when the Lord told me to change the mission of this church was to be the first responders to the city for people that are in need. We started going downtown to the Alazan courts. And when we started going downtown, we started doing so much ministry out there that it felt like, God, my whole time is spent downtown. How many of you remember that almost every week we were down there? Something was going on. We were always down there. We had T-ball going on. We had so many minions going on over there. And then they gave us free rein to take any part of San Antonio Housing Authority. Any property we wanted to go to, we could go. And then I kept on asking God, but where are the workers? Where are the workers? We only had a handful. To be very honest with you, the handful that we had were mainly the teenagers. And a few adults. We needed to raise up teams to do what God has called us to do. There's properties out there that the San Antonio Housing Authority is asking us to occupy. To go out there, reach the lost, touch them, bring the love of Christ to them. If that passion is inside of you, I want you to stand to your feet. That's your passion? That's your passion. If that's your passion, nothing shall stop you from doing it. Nothing shall stop you. Because your passion drives you. And whatever obstacle is in the way, God help remove the obstacle so that I can go and do what I'm passionate about, because you have given me the desires of my heart. That's not your desire you placed there. That's his desire that he placed there. And you have to follow after what your passion is. And if your passion is to reach out to those that no one can touch, that no one can love, maybe you're the one that can bring the only hope in their life just because you have passion to do so. Accept the charge that God has given you. do it. Someone reached out to you. Someone touched you. Someone made it a point to go and find you. He wanted to touch somebody. He made it a point. Going through everything you went through, he made it a point to send someone your way. Everything that you've been going through, he sent an angel into your dreams. In your dreams, you can't even sleep right. You see too much. You're a seer. You see some shadows that will go right by you a lot. You will sense some things but don't quite have an understanding of it. You toss and turn sometimes when you want to have a good night's rest, but you can't yet achieve it. He's stirring your spirit, beloved. He's calling you. He's calling you to come forth. He has need of you. He's anointed you. See, the words that come out of your mouth can encourage. But you've used them to fight. It says, I've anointed you, beloved, to be a leader. To help people. Lead them to the good things of God. I see the anointing that rests upon you, beloved. You're an encourager. Encourage the people of God. Encourage those that don't even know God. Introduce them to God. Your voice is going to be heard. Your voice will be heard. I haven't heard anything. I haven't even heard you speak. But your voice carries. It breaks yokes. Whether you're a singer, you ask for an increase. You ask for some things to change in your life. It will be heard. I see a camera faces you. You're pointing it at you. You are singing. You are singing. And as you're singing, you're finding different areas from within you to find the strength to come forward. The anointing and the oil that's in you is about to be released. God has called you, beloved. If you were to really let it go and let the oil really flow, people would be calling you. They would be calling. A bed, and then I see a mirror, your dresser. But there's, of course, you know, like most women, they have stuff all over. Okay, you got a lot of stuff, it's all over. It's okay, my daughter's the same way. But on that dresser, there's a picture. See a picture there that means a lot to you. You gravitate to it quite often. You'll lean on your side to see it as you lay down. Beloved, God has heard your cries that are inner before you've even released them to be seen. Out of your pain, you will bring joy to others. Bless her, Father. Bless her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that the heart cries out, that you hear, you see all things. Blessed woman of God, I thank you for the oil that God has already given you. I call it forth to come forth out of you now in the name of Jesus, to bring holiness into the atmosphere, to change the atmosphere, even in your room, even in your family, even in the loved ones that are connected to you. That if you begin to even sing aloud even the more, that I will begin to put the words in your mouth that shall come forth. I'm aligning you right now for this time, says the Spirit of God, and you will see the things that will come up out of you will reveal more and more of Him. That you'll see those that are connected to you to make a change in their life. I see someone that has been strung out for a long time and that you have been praying and praying, God, touch, touch, touch. They're coming out from behind the bars, says the Spirit of God. And God is going to reveal Himself in His glorious light. Continue to pray, beloved. I hear your cries, but I will begin to hear your shouts of joy. Shouts of victory, says the Spirit of God. Blessings unto you. Blessings unto you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for His creativity. I thank you for His mind. I thank you for who He is. I thank you that you have called him on. I thank you for his strength and his love. I thank you, God. By the Spirit of the living God, keep him in your hands. Keep him in your hands. Let his creativity come forth, oh God. Bless him, God. Bless him. Bless him, God. Anger and bitterness, I bind you now in the name of Jesus. Unforgiveness is a lion's spirit. I thank you, God, for the oil. I thank you for the oil. I thank you for the oil, God. Let it flow over him as your blood drenches him and keeps him. I thank you for that anointing, oh God. Bless him, oh God. Bless him, oh God. In his name. Thank you, Jesus. Keep him there. Keep him in your arms. Keep them at your bosom, Lord. Let them feel all of you, God. In Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, come on. I know you all have a right heart. I know you have a right heart. When the Spirit begins to minister to somebody, the job for you is to pray, intercede. Don't watch. Intercede. So that the Spirit of God can get deeper and deeper to the place that He needs to be. Intercede. Let the fragrant prayers of the righteous go up as incense. Let the incense of the prayers of the worshipers of God go up. Pray. Seek His face. So that the oil, He's going to turn around. He's going to turn around. He's going to ask for forgiveness. And there will be healing. The very destructive force that is trying to keep him away is bound right now in the name of Jesus. Shall call unto his son. And ask for forgiveness. In these last days, the Bible says this, that the hearts of the fathers would turn unto the sons, and the sons unto the fathers. Don't let that bitterness and anger keep the blessing from coming. We all fall short. We all make mistakes. He loves you. He loves you so much. There's been some dynamics in the family that has kept certain things from happening. But know this, that your daddy is going to call you. Your daddy's going to call you. There's going to be restoration. There's going to be some healing. There's going to be some joy that you missed. See, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. My son Joshua, get over here. Jesus. want you to hold him. Just hold him. Just hold him. Just hold him. I speak resurrection power in life right now in the name of Jesus. Right now in the name of Jesus. Right now in the name of Jesus. Peace and strength right now, Father. Peace and strength right now. You said in that time when my dad lived close to you, we spent more time together. I had more fun together. But something shifted and something changed. And I hear in your spirit, say, God, I want to have that again. I want to be able to be there once again so I could be close to my family. There was a closeness taking place. But something came in. It was an influence. And I bind that influence right now in the name of Jesus. I take authority over it now. And I loose them right now into your very hands, oh God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now I speak to the matriarch of this family. And I speak right now in the name of Jesus. Every influence and every lying spirit. There's a confusing spirit that has taken root because of rejection and abandonment. I bind it off of the family now in the name of Jesus. I call restoration and restitution back into the family. In Jesus' mighty name. Father, I thank you right now. The bitterness and anger right now in the name of Jesus is eradicated out of the house. Eradicated out of the family. Removed now in the name of Jesus. Have your very way. Have your very way. Lord, I thank you right now. Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. As the woman of God that you have called her. As you formed her, Father. Before she was ever, ever placed in her mama's womb. Lord, you made her whole and perfect. And Lord, I thank you right now for divine healing from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. I thank you right now, Father God, for regulating and bringing into order. I thank you, Jesus. Restore right now, Father God, the flame. Restore the flame. Every word that was spoken over her life. That it causes discord. Discord. In the name of Jesus. Break it off for you, beloved. I break it off for you. And I declare you a woman of God, as a prophetess of God, that you are going to do the very great exploits that he has shown you. That your foot shall touch foreign soil. Your foot shall continue to go forth. I have given you that oil. I have given you that anointing. But the men and women of God have tried to hold you back. They tried to come against you. They didn't understand you. And they keep telling you that you can't, that it's not there. Beloved, I'm here to tell you that not everybody that could be there for you are not the ones that were sent to you. God says, I have a people in place for you that are going to undergird you. They're going to lift you up. They're going to pray you through, and they're going to take you further than you've ever been, because you have a heart after Jesus, after the people of God. And for those that have been outcast, your body feels the pain. Beloved, you have such an anointing to bring healing to a people, that you have words of knowledge on a consistent basis for what is going on in the atmosphere. And I see you calling diseases out. I see you calling, oh my God, I see you calling out addresses. And of the doctors, oh my God, there's an anointing that rests upon you, beloved, for the people of God in these last days. You cried out, where is the God of Elijah? Where is the God of Elijah? And you have struck the very waters that have separated you, my God, from your promise and your destiny. Strike the waters. Strike the waters. Go in boldness, beloved. For the Spirit of God says, I've got you, I cover you, and I break off every yoke. Depression is gone in the name of Jesus. Gone in the name of Jesus. What has been trying to oppress you is only to release the goodness of God inside of you to come forth out of your mouth. Speak to the dry bones. Don't describe the dry bones. Speak to the dry bones. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessings, blessings, blessings. When I touched her, to this to you, when I touched her, there was fire that came out of her back. Fire. I felt it in my hands. Supernatural things are going to begin to happen. She's going to turn and she's going to look like she's looking right now. And she's going to see something. And you're going to see her eyes follow it. And you're going to be close to her when you see it. And when you see her eyes begin to follow it, say, Lord, I just want more of that. That's all you need to say. I want more of that. I want more of that. I want more of that. There is so much healing inside of her. My God. I'll say this to you, sir. When you're holding her in the shop, there's going to be a woman that's going to come in and say, can I hold her? Trust the Spirit of God that when she holds her, she's going to be healed of cancer. If I can implore you to do anything, beloved, pray like never before. The fire that comes out of her, my God, as a child now, will bring healing to many just by them holding her. When you were pregnant, I told you that she would be the deliverer of many. She would destroy the yokes of oppression. And she would be a great deliverer. They're going to want to hold her. And you'll sense when it's right. You'll sense. She'll know it. Like I said, you saw her when I began to minister. She looked and she was watching. You'll see that same look. That's when you'll know that something's about to happen. Christ to hold you just like that. For the very arms of God to hold you and protect you. I've sensed that you have been around some areas and some places that you have felt, I need that. I need that security. I need that security. Because you have put your life in harm's way many times. For others and for yourself. But I see right now as my son has put his arms around you, that God Himself is embracing you. He is protecting you. He is keeping you. And He's pouring into you what you desire. You will go into the streets and you will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Out of your mouth shall come fire. Fire. There is an anointing on you, sir, that it would discern what spirit is trying to infiltrate. But the arms of God will keep you. Will keep you. When you pray for your friends, God will give you insight. What does that mean? He's going to show you what to pray for. And the ones that you think they're never, that's the one He's going to go after. He's going to hold them like He's holding you right now. Because you're asking for a certain one. He's got a temper. A quick temper. Sometimes you want to tell him something, but you're like, oh, it's going to be a fight. And I don't want to fight with him. He just wants to argue all the time. That's the one that God's going to go and get. Watch, he'll be your greatest ally. He's going to be right there with you to walk with you, to help you walk through everything. And he's going to tell you, wherever you're going, I'm going to go. I'm going to be your bodyguard. I'm going to be your bodyguard. That's the kind of person that he is. But you don't want to get into that confrontation with words with him because you know he's a hothead. I bless you and I protect you right now. And as I plead the blood of Jesus from the crown of your head to the very soles of your feet, that he take you into the dark places so that you can touch the lives with the light that's in you. Have your very way. Do you play an instrument? I see you playing an instrument. I see you playing an instrument, man. If I was to say a guitar, I'd be lying because I see strings, but I don't know what this is. I see strings around you. I saw strings. I was like, that's an instrument. You're the instrument, but the soul ties have had you bound. Okay, just hear me. And I say this with love, man. I say this with love. You are Romeo, okay? All right, Enrico Suave. Fabio, oh, okay. You know how to get a hold. Okay, all right. Your digits are long. You got many digits. You got many on your phone contacts. You know how to get a hold of them. You know how to make that call at night when you want to make that call. You know you got them when you call them. And I see these strings. These strings got you tightly down. They're soul ties. Do you really want to feel free? I ask you. And I said again, I mean it from my heart, sir. Can you do me a favor? Just lift your hands. Just lift your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, we break every soul tie right now. What does that mean? Every relationship that tries to keep you. You got a couple of them that want to, oh, you're mine, you're mine, you're mine, you're mine, you're mine. Oh, who are you talking to now? Who's calling you now? Who's texting you now? All right, but it's because you got a heart for it. Let's just break the soul ties right now. We loose you into the freedom right now in Jesus' mighty name. There it is. There it is. There it is. Is he related to you? No? Close friend. All right. All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you that every attachment, every string of witchcraft that tries to keep him bound, I thank you, Lord. No manipulation. I just thank you right now, Father, that the love of God just permeate him, engulf him right now. And the right one will come and find him and speak truth. He'll know it because you won't be able to lie, brother. I'm not calling you a liar. I'm not calling you a liar. The game will have no game. Are you hear me? I tell you, man, because I was a player of players, dog of dogs. But I bless you, man. I bless you. I saw the strings. I'm like, oh my God, what are these strings? But then I can see. All right? So I bless you, man. I bless you. Oh, he's good. He's good. Come on. He's good. Miss Karen, how do you feel? How do you feel? Amen. Amen. I was praying for you and I heard the Lord tell me, that woman's going somewhere. Keep her covered. Keep her covered. So, release blessings in your home. Scars are going to be removed supernaturally. Those are your battles. I know. Some of them are physical scars too. But they will be removed, says the Spirit of God. God bless you. God bless you. Ooh, God is so good. He's cool. He's good. George, what you make happen for one, God's going to make happen for you. Favor rests on you. Wherever you're at, favor finds you. But wherever you go, adversity comes. The mouths that always are put on you try to keep you from going further. But I'm here to tell you that the Spirit of God says, I have you. He's got you right here. If he's going to put you in the thick of it, it's because he's giving you that anointing. Speak, beloved, speak. Because wisdom's going to come forth out of you to release his love and his glory in that place. The doors will open, but he's going to shut some doors first. Some of these mouths that are on you, they need to be removed. Trust that the Spirit of God is on you. What you make happen for others, God is making happen for you. Hallelujah. Whew. God is good. He's good. Amen. All right, listen. I think there's envelopes in the back. People, why you stop? See, you make it harder for me to transition. You stop. In your giving, just be obedient to the Lord. Well, Pastor, I don't have money to give. Sow into the ministry with your time. Well, you know, y'all need food. Yeah, we need food. We need pancake mix. We need syrup. We need butter. That's for our first, the first Saturday and the third Saturday. We go and feed at the Alizon Court. So if I can't get money, and if, okay, I'll just say it like this. I'm just going to say, I don't get money, but I got food stamps. Shoo, what you say? Go ahead and get some pancakes. We need some waters for the kids. We need some snacks. Get back here. That's what you can do. That's how you can sow that way. I have individuals that I don't have a job, but I have some stuff at home. Bring it. God sees it. For me, it ain't about the money. When I see what takes place like this, oh, I leave here full. Full. Because God took the time to minister to his babies. And that blesses me. So I encourage you. God has put something in your heart to do. Don't wait for a pastor to come to you. Just say, Pastor, I feel like the Lord is, oh, okay, guess what I'm going to tell you? Like I told my daughter here, Sheree. She says, I have this ministry. Good, bring it. Let's do it. And she runs with it. If you've got something that's burning inside of you, you know that that's your ministry. Don't wait for me to come to you. Here's the thing that I've learned over the course of my time being in church. Sometimes you sitting so far back in the back because you don't want to be seen. God's just waiting on you to put your faith into action. And just do it. Pastor, this is what's on my heart to do. Do it. Let's do it. If I can't be there, there's people that maybe want to join you to help you. But we'll cover you. We'll pray for you. If you're looking for a covering, baby, I'll cover you. I'll cover you. One thing I do know how to do is pray. And I pray for blessings. I pray for breakthroughs in people's lives. Amen. So I encourage you. If I ain't, you ain't got the cheddar, you ain't got the money, just sow your time. Sow your prayers. Amen. All right. Listen, if you have your envelopes ready, we do this because the scripture says that the harvest is ready. And when the harvest is ready, the wind is blowing on your harvest. And it's a wave offering. That's what it is. Everyone's not taking notes to see who's giving, who's not giving. It's just a wave offering. That's what we do. It's a wave offering. Amen. All right. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for every seed that has crossed the threshold, whether it be time, whether it be snacks, whether it be water, whether it be whatever form they need to sow, pins, envelopes, whatever the case may be, Lord, we just thank you right now, Father, that you see it and you receive that as worship unto you. And Lord, we thank you that you bless them a hundredfold return back into their lives. Because they believe and trust in your word, Father God, by putting their faith into action, by giving, Father God, Lord, I thank you that not only will you rebuke the devourer for their sake, but you will open up the window of heaven and pour out the blessing that they cannot even contain it. Lord, I thank you for the blessing of these precious people. ask you, Father God, by faith, to visit them tonight in their dreams, their open visions, in their spirit, man. Lord, visit them, speak to them, encourage them. Fill them up, God. Fill them up. In the precious name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen. You may come and serve the Lord. This Saturday, we're going to be handing out flyers at 10 o'clock at the Alazan Courts for the prayer the Bible breakfast that we have on the third Saturday. But if you want to go, please see Sister Cherie. Cherie, will you stand up, please? That is Sister Cherie. She handles all the outreach. Please see her if you would like to meet up with us to hand out flyers. And boy, do we pray for a lot of people when we do that, do we not? So if you can come on out this Saturday at 10 o'clock. Amen. God bless you guys. We love you. We'll see you on Sunday.